As we stand up here and we look out at our church body, and you look at the individuals, you know, we use that term. There's a cliche we use, you know, are you getting in? Are you feeling it? Do you actually sense? And I think it was Sister Lindsay touched on it this morning, a song that she wanted to teach at church. If Jesus were to walk through those doors, you know, we've been talking about the outcast, the person out there who doesn't have anything to offer us, the broken. If they come through those doors, what do we offer them? Now, if Jesus walks through that door, what do we offer him? And you think about that, it's kind of that idea that we've been thinking for so long. We think sometimes in the flesh, God is asking us to think in the spirit. God gave me this message a couple of weeks ago, and it was during my eye surgery, and it was something that has just dwelled in my heart, in my mind. I want to open up with my text, and I will try to keep my message as brief as possible. Michael asked me, Dad, how many pages do you have? Of course, it's large font because my eyes are still bothering me. And when I told him, he just looked at me, and this was last Sunday. He was just, wow. This is coming from my youngest, who's thinking, no, Dad, no, you can't do that. But I'll keep my notes short. But I did have something I want to share with the church. My text, Matthew 6:22, and my message tonight for the church is double vision. Really fitting with what I went through and what some of you have gone through. Double vision. And yeah, I might still have a little bit of double vision in one eye. Matthew 6:22, and it reads, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Father God, we ask you, Father, once again to remain in this place with us tonight, God. Father, as we commune with your Spirit, as we commune with the Father, as we commune with you, Jesus Christ, we are grateful, Lord, that no matter what is happening in this great country of ours, dear God, the rioting, the looting, the destruction, Father, that you are here, dear God, showing us a better way, showing us life, showing us eternity, showing us healing, showing us promises, God. Nothing ever broken, but everything fixed, Lord God, repairing the human body, the human spirit, God. We thank you, Almighty God, that we still have an absolute hope in you, and we're grateful to you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You know, church, it started since the beginning of time. You know, it starts with a look. It starts with the eyes. It started with Eve in Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. You know, church, a lot of times we're satisfied with what we get into our vision. Many of us get tunnel vision. Many of us get monocular vision. There's something that I discovered during this time that I was out that I have what they call monocular vision. With one eye, I see long distances, and with the other eye, I see very close. And the eye that sees very close is the eye that got worked on. And you know, church, as I was thinking about this, God is sharing this, putting this in my heart as I went through this recovery period. You know, the eye is such an incredible creation. Every aspect of God's creation is incredible, but I want to talk about the eye tonight, church. You know that the eye is an engineering feat. You know it's part of the five basic senses. How many remember the five basic senses? You were all taught this, right? What are the senses? Somebody shout them out. Well, that's what I thought. Must have been public school in here, right? Remember that? Sister Pepper probably knows them. Pastor Pepper, you know the touch, the sight. Remember all those? Smell. All these senses. God has put all these together into our bodies. But the eye, I want to talk about the eye real quick. Give you some information. The eye is a living camera. I borrowed this article. The eye is essentially a living video camera of extraordinary sensitivity. Like any good man-made camera, the eye has a black interior to prevent light scattering and an automatically focusing lens and adjustable diaphragm to control the light. And like the most sophisticated modern digital cameras, the eye has a light-sensitive layer called the retina that can adjust to a wide range of brightness. But unlike any camera made by man, the retina can automatically change its sensitivity to brightness over a range of 10 billion to 1. The retina's light-sensitive cells, the photoreceptors, can perceive a range of light from bright sunlight, snow, to a single photon, which is the smallest unit of light. The eye also has the amazing ability to assemble and repair itself, unlike man-made cameras. How great is your God, church? The muscular eye. We don't generally think of our eye as a muscular organ, but this small orb has some of the busiest muscles in the body. There are two sets of muscles inside the eye. One set opens and closes the iris diaphragm, admitting different amounts of light. The second set of muscles is attached by strings to the perimeter of the lens and changes its shape during focusing. There are also three pairs of muscles attached to the outside of the eye. These muscles rotate the eyeball so we can look in different directions without moving our heads. Basically, one pair of muscles works like the reins on a horse to aim the eye to the left or the right. A second pair of muscles attached to the top and the bottom of the eyeball aims the eye up and down. Finally, a third set of muscles rotates the eye like a doorknob. The purpose of these last two muscles is to keep our vision level when we tilt the head from side to side, so we don't get dizzy. The Lord thinks of everything. Isn't our God awesome? Just think of it. Everywhere we turn our gaze, 12 separate muscles, 6 on each eye, move in perfect coordination for us to see the object we're looking at. If our eyes are even slightly misaligned, we see double. This remarkable coordination is like a marksman so accurate with a pair of pistols that he can make only one bullet hole every time he fires both guns. How awesome is your God? Church, you think about the eyes, and this was an article was written by Dr. David Menton, 2008. Give him credit for that. This is something he featured. Vision, just like any of God's creation, it can be misused. The look in the eyes of mankind continues today. You know, church, we're seeing a change, I'm going to call it a revolution of the worst kind in our country today. The rioting, the looting, people are taking things in with their eyes and taking what they want. And you know, our world is falling apart. Our country is falling apart right before our eyes. We had church tonight, we're still having church tonight. And yet out there, the hopelessness, people with the wrong ideas of what it is to take are out there trying to run this country. And I think, what are we taking in with our eyes? We want the best of the best, which we've taken in with our eyes. With our eyes, we see the souls of men. And you know, God, through your eyes, you can see your own soul. In this walk, the enemy creates something called a double vision. What's double vision? It is seeing two of the same thing, and sometimes it is seeing something that is not there. Church, many times our churches have created a double vision. And I'm not even looking at the world. I'm saying sometimes with ideologies, philosophies, practices, rules, everything we set in place, sometimes we create a double vision. You know what double vision does to a person? It causes them to stumble. God is saying, I am looking for clarity of mind, soul, body. I'm looking for clarity of eyesight. What you take in. Double vision. What do Christians have today that they just cannot see God for who he is? I was reading an article yesterday about one of these popular Christian bands, a band member, one of the, there's a lot of popular music they've written here recently. But the guy comes out and says basically he doesn't believe in God. Don't believe in God. And I'm thinking, you're singing about God and you don't believe in God? That's the world feeding that message. Regardless of what his opinion is, God is God. And my God is God with a capital G, not God with a little g. You know, church, people want the Christian world or the church world wants to put God. So you take in the vision of God with a little g, but it is God with a big G. There is just a God, and he himself is God. The biggest stumbling block that we create sometimes, people cannot see themselves for what they are, You know, double vision creates a double standard for us. I want to focus on 5 points, and I'll get through these as quickly as I can. My 5 points: a look down, a look forward, a look up, a look around, and a look back. Are you look down? What are you walking on, church, today, tonight? On the experience of others? On the straight and narrow path? Are you walking in the footsteps of spiritual giants that went before us? Many times, church, we need to look down and see the path we're taking. Many times we want to look forward. Our eyes are taking in a lot of things. Going back to this creation, this eyesight of ours, many times we need to look at the path. Psalm 16:11 reads, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 17:5, "Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not." Or are we on tracks of those that have fallen along the way, church? Job 6:18 reads, "The paths of their way are turned aside, they go nothing and perish." Job 18:13, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." You know, church, looking down gives us sure footing. Many times in our Christian walk, we need to look down. We need to look at what path we're on. Many churches don't want to follow a path that's down. They want to create a new path. The true path to godliness is already a worn-out path that we can easily follow, because the saints of God that have gone before us have shown us the way. Many times, church, we are not looking for that path or that right away. God is saying, "I'm making it so simple tonight." What kind of vision do we have tonight? What kind of vision does the church have? You know, as I think back about the rioting and looting, I think, how many of those people came across a double standard in a church someplace and stepped away and said, "I don't need this"? You know, many times we blame society. But church, at the end of it all, it always comes back to the church. Because somewhere along the way, we should have done a little bit more. We should have done a little bit more digging. We should have done a little bit more praying. We should have done a little bit more studying. We should have done a lot more spending time with God Himself. Tonight was an opportunity, church, to spend time with Him. But the night isn't over. The week isn't over. The year isn't over yet. God is still in control, church. And He is still looking for those that are wanting to reach out and touch the hem of His garment. He makes it so simple for us. You press in just a little bit harder. Someone that wants to reach His hem, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she was pressing into the crowd. "If I could just reach in." I've always said, church, we are so close. You know, I was just thinking to myself, we're talking about revival. We're talking about services. We're talking about a camp meeting coming up. And I thought, you've already been having revival. Church, you've already been having revival. The refreshing is going to be for those that come here, because the refreshment is here. The pools of living water are flowing. When you can't even preach the word because the Spirit of God takes over, you sit there and you think, "Lord, was this message from you?" And God says, "Just put that aside. I'll shelve that for now. Just shelve it for now. In my time, for now, just praise me." Because church, we don't spend enough time in praise and worship of God. When God is looking for an army of people, not just to fight the battles, not just to raise a standard, not just to swing the sword, but someone that gives a shout, and someone that says hallelujah, and someone that says, "I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue down this path, but I want you to praise me. Praise me one more time. Praise me with your last breath." God is looking for those people that are saying, "We are not done yet, God. We're going to practice now for what we want to do up there in glory." God is saying those witnesses are watching and saying, "How much louder can you get? How much louder can you get down spiritually, church? How much more do you have till you get as hoarse as you can spiritually?" God is saying there is one more sound that needs to come out. It's a sound of triumph that needs to come out. But God says, look down, look at the path, and continue to walk that path. Find that path, find that true path, and don't veer off it. Church, we're too close to the end. Yesterday we went on our bike riding, you know, and I had a minor incident with, nobody saw this, but probably Michael. But I was trying to avoid hitting Michael one of the times. He kind of slowed down, and I almost went off into the river, that path, that drop off. And you know, I could not I fought it, but I could not get my balance. I managed to stop. I realized there's two front brakes up here. But I could not get my balance. And it's just like us, church. Many times we're on the edge, and God is giving you balance to get away from the edge. God is giving you the eyes to keep your eyes on the path. God is looking for people that are waiting to go the distance, but waiting to stay on the true and narrow path. Because, church, that path is worn down. It's easy to find. The saints of God have already worn down that path for us. They've already said, we've been there. Church, just keep marching through. Look down. You know, when we look down, you know, man never attempts to climb a mountain by looking straight up. A man climbs a mountain by gauging it from a distance, and when he gets to the mountain, he looks for a path. You know, church? And when he comes down the mountain, he looks for a path. The fool wants to come straight down, and that never is a good thing. That never works out for anybody. You know, church, we always look for sure footing. We always look for a path. Nature teaches us. You know, even mountain goats, you know, bighorn sheep, they teach us a lesson about sure footing. If we took a lesson from them, because they always look for the best footing. God is saying, look down. Look down. We are getting so close to the end. There is one more step you have to take. There is one more mountain to climb. There is one more valley to go through. And there is one path. Look down and find that path. The enemy gives you an illusion that there's a couple of paths here, church. He gives you that double vision. You know, we can't focus on two paths if we're focusing on the one true. God says, focus on me. Focus on the true path. And God says, I will light up the way. Man needs to put yesterday's memories and experience and create something now. Church, we can't go on yesterday's experiences. We got to go on the experiences now. God is looking for the power now. God is wanting to give us the power now. God is wanting healing in bodies now. God is saying, how much further are you willing to go? Don't look back along that path. Take those experiences you have. Sure, it's something you add, but church, God is saying, I want to do it now. It is time to move up. To move down, never. Move up, yes. It is never time to veer to the left or the right. God is looking for people that want to stay on the path. What are you walking on? What are you walking with? Where do your feet take you? And I thought about this many times. How many people have we walked on? Very sobering when you think about that. Because sometimes we unintentionally do that. God is saying, I'm looking for people that pick up those that have fallen on the wayside and pick them up. Because, church, those are our relatives. Those are those that we want to see make heaven. What are your feet shod with? As you look down on that path, what are your feet shod with? Is it the preparation of the gospel or the illusion of a false gospel? What do you have on your feet? Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We look down. Now let's look forward, church. What direction are you headed? Is it His will or is it your way? Questions we ask ourselves. What do you see ahead? Not only do we contend with the flesh looking down, but looking forward. What vision do you have? Let me ask the church this question tonight. What vision do you have for your life? What vision do you have? I'm not talking about sharing pastor's vision for this church. You as an individual, what vision do you have? Is there something more to your life? God is saying, I've given you this world. I've given you so much. I've given you grace. I've given you mercy. And I'm also wanting to give you a vision. What vision have you gotten hold of, church, tonight? What vision have you prayed towards? God is looking for those that are looking forward towards that vision, towards that time, because we're so close. What illusion has the enemy placed in front of you that's not there? Double vision creates that. Many times, church, we think we're secure. We really do. You know what? I was brought up in church. I've enjoyed church. I should be pretty much as godly as anybody else. You know, I was actually thinking, I know Brother Jason's probably going to kill me for this, but PKs or Sister Lindsay or Brother Lucas, pastor's kids, you know. I was thinking what they go through, what they have to deal with. And sometimes what we have to deal with PKs. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, many times the illusion is just because Daddy brought me up in church, I should be okay. It's up to you to make that choice. Dad can only hold your hand for so long. And when Dad turns that hand over to Daddy, to Jesus Christ himself, you have to make the decision whether you're going to hold on or you're going to let go. And many times, church, God is saying, I need you to look forward. I need you to get a hold of a vision. I need you to go. You know, when I think about visions, church, you know, questions come into mind. What visions have I adopted? You know, the vision of God or the vision that the enemy continues to put in front of us. Many times, you know what the enemy tells you? If you'll just work a little bit harder, you'll have every toy you want. Let me tell you this, church, and this is coming from me. When I got my degree, you know, they were looking for people to take to become engineers, you know, and they told us that as an electrical engineer, you're going to make a lot of money, and you're going to do this and do that. You know, I even had a job opportunity with Intel Corporation at the beginning, and they were offering some pretty good money, but I couldn't see myself doing what those guys did, because those guys looked like they were already fried. And I thought, that's not what I want. I have a vision of, I'm going to have, Brother Lucas, I'm going to have a Corvette, convertible. I'm going to have all these toys. I'm going to have snowmobiles. You know, up where I grew up, I'm going to have all these toys because I'm going to be wealthy. That was my vision. You know, and we live with that. And somewhere along the way, God woke me up and said, that's not the vision. You don't need all this. You don't need all these things. A car will break down on you. Sorry, Brother Jason, but that Ferrari you desire, $2,000 tune-up, Sister Sarah will kill you the first time. If it dies on the road, you'll have to put it aside. You think about that. Is it worth it? But God's vision for our lives is worth it. The things we desire, God is saying, take him in with your eyes. Take in the things of God first. Yeah, we desire a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things in life, but God says they're not as critical or as important. Because if I sacrifice something materialistic for the life of a human being that I work with, because this distracts me, but if I don't have this, it doesn't distract me, and I can put my life into this person, that's a vision. That's what God is looking for, those that are willing to take a vision and run with it. 12 years ago, God gave me a vision. How many would take the vision that I dealt with 12 years ago when I prayed at an altar and said, God, you need to do something with my career. What am I supposed to do? And this is coming from an evangelist. You know, many times an evangelist comes and preaches and says, well, many of you guys need to do this and do this and do this. And yeah, yes, God, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We take it to the altar and we're not very serious about it. You know, God, you know, bless brother, such and such, and that was good, and yeah, you know, if that works out, great. That's not grabbing the vision, church. When I went to an altar prayer, and I said, Lord, my career, I'm going to give it to you. You need to let me know what I want to do. And the next day, I had a phone call. A recruiter was looking for an engineer to come out. And you know, church, that was prayer. And it wasn't. It was a national recruiter, not looking to come and work in Oklahoma. It was actually Georgia was the first one. The second was, I think it was West Virginia. And I kept thinking, oh, that's a long ways from mom and dad. You know, it's my wife, myself, and I think it was, I had my two sons that Michael hadn't come. Michael's my Okie. He hadn't come around yet. But you know, God gave me that vision, and when he said, recruiters said they're looking for an engineer in Oklahoma. I remember thinking, if I accept it, it changes everything. That's a vision, church. That's when you leave it all behind. Because, you know, that's when everyone questions you. And that's the thing with God's vision, is people may question you. The enemy will question you. Do you really think it's God? And for myself, you know, church, do you really want to go to a place you have no relatives? You don't know anybody. You might be an outcast for many, many years because you really do not fit in with anybody. And you know, that was 12 years ago. But God said, go. And I remember praying more, saying, God, you need to give me some signs. And I think I've shared with the church the different signs God gave me along the way that were unmistakable. I think we're going. And I remember thinking, God, it'll be a short time. And then we'll go back. We'll go back. Everything will have stopped. That's not God's vision. God's vision is to move forward. In my mind, I thought for years things were going to stop and we were going to be able to go back to normal. I would resume where I left off with my parents, with her parents, family back there. No, church, 12 years later, people have aged. Our house out there is aging. You know, my boys are growing up here. You think about all those things, the things you never thought about. And you got to go back to a vision of God and what is God saying. This is the season. This is the place. This is what I've chosen for you. Don't be attached to material things. Be attached to those things that matter. And you know what matters, church? It's flesh. It's all the people around you. It's the people that need you, the people that cry out, the people that are broken, the people that are hurting. God is going to send you where he needs you. God is looking for people that are visionaries. Proverbs 3:7 reads, be not wise in thine eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 22:36, my son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Ezekiel 1:12, and they went everyone straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. This is talking around the throne, the beasts around the throne, you know. And wherever they went, where the Spirit was to go, they went. What a simple thought. Wherever the Spirit of God goes, I go. The church embraces that. If we embrace that every day in our work, tomorrow we start. 8 o'clock, we all get to work tomorrow. We all start tomorrow. Let's see if the Spirit of God is with you, if we got that vision. Because many times we leave it here. And tomorrow we start. Better get that first cup of coffee going. And I better get myself jump started. And as soon as that phone rings at work or somebody walks in my office with a problem, I'm thinking, okay, put it all aside. God, the vision I had, it's great, but right now I'm dealing with this, this, and this. And God says, my vision continues through. We need to embrace his vision and continue. We need to have a vision going forward. The vision God's placed in front of us. God is looking for a church that is marching forward. God is looking for those that are reaching, getting to the edge of Jordan. You know, many times we think about the children of Israel. And all the customs and traditions, they all give us a sense of heaven. The things that God placed out there, they're reminders of a vision he wants to create in our church. And I think Brother Robert said it this morning, this evening about, you know, I think it was Brother that said, you know, the blessing that God visits us in this place. Chelsea, Oklahoma. Nobody knows where Chelsea, Oklahoma is, right? In New York City, Chicago, you know, Philadelphia, these countries that are riding. But God, in a sovereign move, says, I enjoy the worship and praise of that small group of people in Chelsea, Oklahoma, because they are grabbing a vision. They have looked down on the past, and they are looking forward. And God is saying, it's step by step, step by step. Look up. See who you are following. You know, we Christians need to develop a sense of looking through the storm clouds and not at them. Many times we're looking right at the storm clouds and God is saying, look through the storm clouds. I'm behind them. Many times we don't want to see past the storm clouds because many times we fear the answer, but God makes it so simple. You know, the enemy loves to place storms in front of you. Every day, there's a storm. Every day, there's a storm raging. Whether it's emotional, or it's physical, financial, every day, there's a storm. And God says, just look past the storm. Just look at me. Just where is your vision? As you walk, look down on your path. As you look forward and you look up, who are you following? Who have you been following? You know, the enemy places a vision of storms to hinder you. God places a vision above the storms to help you? What has the enemy been whispering to you? Your failure? Reminds you of your struggles? Reminds you of your past? Reminds you of your past failures? The things that have gone on in your life? And many times, the enemy just needs to be put in his place saying, I got God's vision. And that's where I'm headed. God is looking for those that are telling the enemy, you know what, enemy? If you want to hear God's vision, hey, open up your ears. I'm going to tell you, but you're not, you know what? You're not part of it. As a matter of fact, at the very end of it, I'm going to tread on you. At the very end of it, I'm going to step all over you, and you are not going to have victory over my family, over my relatives, over my parents, over my siblings. You are not going to have that victory over this body. It's just a body of flesh, church. You know, but God is saying you can have that victory over it too. God is looking for a vision. You know, the enemy just loves to use God's word against you. He knows how to deceive you, manipulate you, and he's been doing that for centuries. Since Eve, since the days of Eve, he knew how to manipulate that. You know, we touch nerves. There's certain things in the church we very seldom touch on anymore because it offends people. There's certain things that many times I've thought, you know, if you preached on this, I would probably be escorted out of the church. Of course, pastor would probably have this big smile on the back thinking, oh boy, brother. Oh boy, here's a couple of shovels, dig your way out of this one. But you know, but I'm saying this, church, is because sometimes we have to confront those things in our lives. In order to get a clear vision, God is saying confront all those hidden things in your life. It is time to clean those things out. And God says, well, you know, if I just have one person that stands up and says, enough, God, I'm getting the vision now. I am going to step through this. That's all it takes, church. Revival has already started in this church. It's not the picture revival we envisioned, because we hear about, you know, the moves, and but God has different moves. God's visions are different. And sometimes I'm thinking, you're going to come in here, we're going to see everybody, you know, running back and forth, and God says, it starts with one fire. A forest fire starts with one spark. And many times God is saying, those that are going to move are going to move. Those that are going to tarry are going to tarry. Those that are going to praise are going to praise. But God is looking for the one person that says, I want all that, God, and more. I want a vision. The vision of God. Jeremiah 8, 5 through 9 reads like this. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do we say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? You know, Jeremiah 8:20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is in it, and we are not saved. Wow. It touches a lot in our lives. God is looking for those that have a vision to look up. How many around us are not saved? How many of us do we know, relatives, I mean, that really need a move of God in their lives? We can count them on all of our fingers and continue to add. And somewhere deep down inside, we feel like, oh, maybe we're okay. We had a good service, Pastor. Had a good service tonight. And then we go home, do we pray for those people? During the time, during the altar time, are we praying? Is our vision, is God, someday I'm going to have those people at the altar with me? God, my vision is someday I want them at the altar with me, Lord, and I want to be carried away in your vision as well. But I want, in my vision, Lord, in my desires, I want to have them, this people of flesh, become people of spirit. How many people do we have like that, church? We can name them. Time is growing short. A vision of our future, a lot closer than we think. God's promise to his children, Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come pass, and look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's getting close, church. Look around. See who walks with you. As we walk looking down forward and looking up, we have to be able to look around and perceive who is walking with us. Who is following? Who is walking side by side with you? Who have you carried, church? We need to be able to pick up those that are struggling right next to us. And I always go back to that. I'm not sure why. I always go back to the broken people. There's a lot of broken people in church. But there's a lot more broken outside these walls. And I think we talked about the day's going to come that this church needs to go outside of these walls. Because there's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of people who don't know what absolute truth is. There's a lot of people out there that need to have an experience with somebody who has been with God. If Moses were to walk in after he had his mountaintop experience, how would we have reacted? In awe? Now, people out there are looking for us. It's modern day America, church. We think because we have cell phones, we got vehicles, air conditioning in our vehicles at home, we got fans on, we got technology. We got everything we can have. But sometimes what we lack is reaching out to that brother or that sister and finding what they have. Facebook ain't going to tell you what they're feeling, church. A text is not going to tell you what they're feeling. It's going to be a face-to-face encounter. Just like we have to have a face-to-face encounter with God, we need to have a face-to-face encounter with some of these people because they need to be able to read your heart through your eyes. They need to look into your eyes and see your soul and say, this person has been with God. There's no double vision there, church. There's no double standard. I know who God is. We need to look at what God is doing. Nehemiah 6:16 reads, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. The enemy needs to know, church, that the work that is being done is being wrought of God. That everything that is being done of God, with a capital G. That there is no other standard. That when God sets up a project, when God sets up a procedure, a process, it is God who is still in control. And many times we think people aren't going to be able to handle that or accept that. That's not a matter of them accepting it, church. It's whether you accept it first. Many times we need to lead the way with a vision. God is saying, how many of you are able to grasp a vision and show people this is the vision? You know, I was thinking back to my early years back in the early 90s. I was in my, I guess, mid-20s, pastor. So I was young then. And in church, and I remember my wife and I, we didn't have any kids. We were, you know, newlyweds. But I remember the pastor out there at that church. It was a Spanish Assembly of God, became a Living Waters Assembly of God. But the pastor, and it was a pretty good-sized congregation. I think Easter we got 2,000, 3,000 people. You know, Easter you always get the peak. It's kind of like the bell curve, and then the rest of everything else just flattens out the rest of the year. So that's when you got to reap the harvest, right? Or at least the tithing. But you know that the pastor asked me, at that time he appointed me as a deacon had stepped down, and I was the youngest deacon on that board. And I remember I was awed by the responsibility. And then he asked me to lead the men's group. Wow. You're talking some old guys that had a problem with a young, you know, young man standing there saying, okay, we're going to leave prayer, okay, you know, just trying to get stuff going on a Saturday morning with this man. You know, many men couldn't accept that, especially the older, because wisdom taught him, this guy is still too young, right? But I remember that there was an older gentleman that taught Bibles every one. I think it was one Saturday a month, or was it every Saturday the men's prayer group met. And he had been there for so many years. But as he was retiring and his eyesight was starting to fail, he called me one day as we were talking, and I met him at church, and he gave me all his Matthew commentaries. He said, this is for you because someday you're going to teach or you're going to preach. And I remember thinking, his name was Brother Gold. What a name, Brother Gold. And I remember that I still have so many fond memories of him. He would have been the sweetest grandfather you would ever have wanted to have had. Such a sweet old gentleman, saint of God. But I remember his eyesight was failing, but he gave me all his Matthew commentaries, and I still have them. And I remember it meant so much to me because he was passing that mantle, saying, I have a vision for your life. This vision starts with these. And for years I used them, and I still have them. And then over the years you go through different Bibles, but Matthew commentaries are still pretty good, you know, for reference. But I remember thinking the other day, it came to mind, those are the men that created the path to follow. Those are the men that looked forward, and those are the men at the end of their lives that looked up. And you know, church, I think about the consistency of his life. His grandkids became a mess. Marriage, remarriage, remarriage. They went through a lot of strife, you know. And I remember him, even in his last years of his life, he was still going forward. He had a vision for God. You look back, you know, we look at those saints of God and think, which is my next point. That's what we look back at. You know, but when we talk about looking around, church, you know, Satan creates a double vision that those that are fallen appear to be okay. Those in the church. There's a lot in the church that think, I'm okay. Hey, I speak in tongues. You know what? I'm perfectly fine. On cue, I know when to speak in tongues. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I know how to play an instrument. You know? I know when it's time to gather the offering that I got to give in my 10%. I'm fine. Just leave me out of it. God, I'll keep my distance from you. God says, no, you are missing the whole picture. It is about a vision. God is saying, I had you look down, I had you look forward, look around, and who's following you, because there's many people that you need to hold their hands, church. And many times we miss that point. The enemy, not only is double vision, it blurs your vision. What is your focus? You know, Pastor brought up a really good point. He said it twice already about distractions, cell phones. And you know, people, I've noticed this, cannot live without their cell phones. You know, my cell phone is sitting there at church. And you know, I think about how many times I will look at it to check work emails. It becomes attached, becomes part of your life, and I'm thinking, it starts, time begins to control you. And I think about the people that Facebook, and church, I still don't have Facebook. Okay. But how many people live by Facebook rather than by the Word of God? How many people are still attached to, I got to see what the latest comment is. I got to see what the latest trend is. I got to see what such and such said. What does that matter what anybody said, church? I'm going to tell you tonight, you need to be listening to the voice of God. We are in the last days. Facebook ain't going to save you. Anything else ain't going to save you. It's got to be the Word of God and the vision He gives you, church. And I can say this tonight, as soon as service is over, walk out those doors, how many turn on the phone, Facebook, see what's going on. Because that's what we've become accustomed to. That is what is blurring visions. When we become so focused on what other people are commenting rather than focusing on the Word of God, God is wanting a one-on-one relationship. We got to look at what God is providing. We got to look at what God is doing, because I want to serve. I want to see the God of fire respond. I still think, church, my vision someday is to see that fire in this building. That's my vision. I don't know how many share that. And many may think, well, that's kind of, you know, that's out there. Why? Why? Why can't you have this building catch on fire so that people get called out to a fire and say, that building's on fire, you better go check it? No. It's those Pentecostal people again. And it's not the Pentecostal people having their same traditional, they do everything Pentecostal people do. They have the same traditional motion to do this, to that. They do. No, it's different. I think Pastor one time challenged us. He said, you know what? For those of you that are speaking in tongues the same way, it's probably time to move forward, move up. It's probably time to upgrade your tongues, church. Because you know what? If you're still speaking the same way, you really haven't moved forward. You think about that. God is wanting to move forward. Grab a vision. Move up. God is looking for those that are willing to be adventurous. Those that are willing to have the guts to do it. We are in a comfort zone. We do. Man, don't come in my front door. Brother Robert, don't be calling me up at 6 o'clock in the morning just to ask me a question. Better be a valid question. 6:30 might be okay, but better be good. We live in our comfort zone. Don't disturb my sleep. We live in a world of comfort to a point where we don't even want God to come in and shake us. If Jesus Christ were to knock at your door at 5 o'clock in the morning, how many would answer the door? How many would, think about that, how many would hit the snooze button? How many would greet our Lord before your first cup of coffee? How many? You think about that, church. It's funny, but we've developed a comfort zone. God is saying you got to get out of that comfort zone. You got to do more. You got to move forward. God is looking for visionaries. A look back. Many times we're told, don't look back. But sometimes we got to look back to see who's following. Our families. Who is following in your footsteps? It gives us a perspective on who we are leading. It shows us our experiences. We don't build our experiences and tack them onto a resume, church. You know, our experiences with youth group, I was thinking the youth group that Sister Kath and I worked with years ago, they're probably in their 40s right now, you know, mid-40s. And I think, I look back at them and I think, I wonder what steps they followed. I wonder if they ever look us up and say, is Brother Larry and Sister Kathy still in church? I wonder if they ever think, are we supposed to remain in church? Because many were struggling. And as time goes by, you go back and you think about them, you still see their faces as young people. They're probably married. They have children. They're young people. They're part of that, actually above the millennial group. And I'm thinking, God, I hope they're still serving, because I hope I gave them something to follow. That's a look back I do, because you know what, church, even now with the Rangers, with the Ranger boys, there's older Ranger boys that have gone on before. I still keep in contact with them. And you always hold that, because you know that's where God holds us accountable, church. Because of what you taught those young boys. Yes, it's about choices. It's about a vision. But someone is following you. Church, look around. Someone's always following you. Someone's always tracking you. You never walk back your salvation experience with the Lord. You never walk that back. You know what? Just like the battlefield, you may need to look back to pick up casualties. There's a lot of casualties in this life. You know, I listened to Isaac and Lydia and Timothy and the cries for their mother. She's a casualty on the battlefield. And somebody needs to reach out and get hold of her and pick her up. And say we need to look forward. We all have casualties in our lives. And it should break our hearts. It should. You know, I shared with Pastor Pepper, I had a dream here a couple of weeks ago. In that dream, it was a sense of dread that, and I shared this with my wife, but I shared with Pastor Pepper, I said, it was almost like it wasn't a son, and maybe it was a brother, but it was someone close to me that I loved, and I knew, absolutely felt and knew they were going to hell. I felt it. And it was that dread of they're going to hell. And I was thinking of my brothers and I thought, Lord, you're giving me an idea of the desperation we have to have in anguish. God is saying I need a vision of anguish to start crying for souls, because a lot of people are being lost. A lot of people are dying. And God is saying I need a vision of anguish. We look back, you know, we never walk back. We only pick up those casualties. Jeremiah 7:24, but they hearkened not nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. There's a lot we need not to look back at, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be left back there. Proverbs 30:12 reads, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Isaiah 44:18, they have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see and their hearts that they cannot understand. Let me conclude with these thoughts, church. Don't let double vision ruin your focus on the things that are true. You know, Psalm 13:3 reads, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lighten my eyes. God, let me see more things. God is saying, you know what? And then I thought about our church. Localized the church. I thought, maybe there's a parallel message here with our church body here. You know, something that we've experienced in our church that gives us the eyes to see and others and at what others are going through. And I was wondering about this. One person in this church has had a heart issue. One person in this church has had an eye issue. And one person in this church has suffered with a deep sorrow. You put those three elements together, church, and God is saying, that is what we need to grow up, grow out, and grow forward with. God is saying there's somebody with a heart issue in this church. Not physically, but spiritually. You are struggling in getting over something. There's someone with an eye issue. Not physically, but someone is struggling with something they can't see in front of them because of the problems, because of the issues in their lives. And the sorrow. There's someone with sorrow in this church that is still hurting and struggling because the sorrow resides deep, deep inside. But God is saying, I've heard you all. I will heal your eyesight. I will heal your heart. I will heal your heart, your eyes, and your sorrow. But church, grab the vision. We got to go forward, church. It's about double vision. You know, it's time to remove that double vision from up of our lives, church. Double standards and lean on godly standards. You know, I'm kind of looking around the church tonight. And I'm wondering, Pastor, you know, some are listening. Some already faded off. Some are not wanting to listen. Church, this message is not my opinion. This is something God gave me. It's got to be God's word. Because, church, the day comes that it becomes just my opinion. Then I'll step away from the pulpit and I don't preach anymore. It cannot be my opinion. You know, we're so distracted. We are distracted tonight. God gave us an outpouring about an hour ago. And now we've come off that big wave and we've done this. And now we're saying, I'm not going to listen to your preaching. And this sounds harsh. But I read it in your eyes, church. I'm looking around the room and I can read eyes because the eyes tell me what you're thinking in your heart. Because you know what? We all do that. We all read our eyes, church. But I'm just here, church, to beg you tonight, get hold of God's vision. I'm here to implore you to get hold of his vision, church. You'll have visitors coming in a couple of weeks. Let those visitors not be impressed with our behavior. Let them be impressed with our vision. When they see this place is on fire, they need a place of restoration. Because many are going to be coming from far. And we don't need to be the ones that are constantly having to give, always looking for a handout. We need to start giving the handout. Because you know what, church? We've been spoiled long enough. God is saying, I have frequented your place Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Thursday nights, for how many weeks straight, continuously, regardless of whether there was a virus out there, regardless of sickness, regardless of injury, I have been there. And God is saying, now it is time for you to give back. Because if you haven't taken a measure of my spirit, that is on you. But if you've gotten hold a measure of my spirit, and there is no leaven at all in this, and you are feeding that pure bread, unleavened bread, God is saying you are going to bless someone. But if you consider, church, that we have the same prayers over and over, it should have an anguish when you talk about lost loved ones. And I always go back to those three young teenagers in this church. Well, Timmy's not a teenager anymore. I guess we can consider him. He still probably likes that title. But I always think about them because they always ask for their mother. And you know, church, when was the last time I asked this church prayer for my mom or my dad who's really lost? I haven't. They've been more of an example of the way it needs to be done for all of us. When was the last time you stood up from your church, I want you to pray for my brother? I got two brothers that are lost. That if they died tonight, they would end up in hell. When was the last time I asked, Pastor, would you pray for my two brothers? I haven't done that in a long time. Would you pray for my dad, Pastor? I haven't done that in a long time. Consistency. These three have shown us consistency. They have a vision. There is no double vision in that. They are seeing clearly heaven. They are seeing clearly the reward of prayer, the rewards of heaven, the rewards of being consistent and fighting the fight. The enemy's not going to put that double vision in front of them. God has already placed his vision in there, that if they continue to be consistent, their mother is going to come to the cross. And that's all as simple as we want a church. At the end of it all, when we cross Jordan, the cloud of witnesses, we want to be able to see those relatives, those lost loved ones. God, no matter what happens here and the tumultuous things we go through, God, just let me see, let me know that they're going to make it. That at the end of it all, I'm going to see my dad. I'm going to see my mom in glory. Because we're all going to be there together. That's a vision, church. The enemy will come along and whisper in your ear and says, ain't going to happen. That's when you get that liar and you tell, you know what? I'm going to tell you about God's vision. And whether you like it or not, you are not in it. But you know what? My family is going to be in it. And I'm going to continue to fight the good fight. Church, remember, church, no double vision. Don't let the enemy blur your vision. Don't let the enemy come in your families and create destruction. Tonight was a wonderful service, church. Tonight was a wonderful service. And we've had those. I even told Pastor, he asked me, are you going to preach? I said, I don't know. I'll let you know because I don't know. We don't know anymore. It's like I put on a tie, put on my shirt, get my message out, and okay, let's see what happens now. But isn't that the vision of God? It's expecting the unexpected. Because when we get so rigid in what we do, church, you know, I was looking at the clock thinking, oh, okay, I'm going home. They ain't no time to preach tonight. And I looked at the clock thinking, it really hasn't been that long. Uh-oh, pastor's going to call me up. You know, because you're always thinking. Because we get into some kind of a comfort zone. Church, tonight, let's get a hold of God's vision. Don't let the enemy blur your vision. Let's grab a vision of what God wants. Let's all ask God in the anguish of our hearts, can you show me what vision you have for my life? Because church, we're too close to the end. I've always said we're right at the edge of a big, big breakthrough. But we're also at the end of it all. God is saying it might be the last revival, and who knows, church, it might start here in Chelsea, Oklahoma. The last big fire is going to start out of this community, and it's going to spread. And maybe those gentlemen coming and those families coming to this service in June are going to carry what fire they pick out of the lanterns that we're carrying, the fire in this temple. And maybe they're going to take that with them and say, you know what, that fire started out there. In that small little, in the Midwest, in the center of the United States, there was a little church that believed in visions of God. And believe that if they got hold of God's vision and held on to it, no matter what, God is going to take them through. And no matter if the enemy comes and says, I'm going to blur your vision, I'm going to give you double vision, I'm going to let you see things that aren't there, no, enemy, be gone. I'm only going to see clearly. God is looking for people that want to have one vision. And let me close with this thought, church. You know, when I was getting my eye operated on, it's a 45-minute process, you know, and it puts you under for a few minutes. And I remember I prayed. I said, Lord, don't let me die, because I start thinking about my family and because they basically have control of your body. And you know, they have to put you under so they can give you a shot behind your eyeball, because it's so painful that awake you can't stand the pain. And you know, when I woke up, they were already in my eyeball. I could see the needle in there. And it was numb, Pastor, up until they hit a nerve that hadn't been deadened. And I can tell you that my head almost went through that operating table. It was the worst excruciating pain I've ever felt. And I felt like I wanted to dig into that operating table, push myself back against it so hard. And I even told him, it is hurting. He says, we're almost done. I guess that some of those nerves did dead. And you know what I thought of? Jesus Christ. When they drove the nails through those wrists, and I thought through his feet, what he felt, the excruciating pain that he took for me to give me a vision for 2020. But back then, he took those nails, and whatever pain he felt, he stood there, didn't utter a word, and the pain that shot through his body. And you know, when he looked out into eternity on the cross and called us by name and said, you're worth it. You're worth it. And I thought, my God, I can't even imagine the pain. I had it in one eye, but on both wrists and on his feet, and the whipping and the beatings. And I thought, you did it all for me. A vision. We need to get his vision, church. So tonight, let's stand. I know we've prayed, church, but tonight, we've been around the altars. And I don't know how Pastor wants to dismiss this, but heads bowed, eyes closed. Tonight, church, I'll ask a question. How many in this congregation, and this is before Almighty God Himself, as He watches over this congregation, how many in this church would raise their right hand and say, God, I'm going to grab your vision. And God, I'm going to run with it. That no matter what happens, I am going to be what you want me to be. How many people are willing to do that, church, tonight? We all agree, church. You can put your hands down. Now, I know it's tough, church. There were some that didn't raise their hands because you're struggling with something. It is time that whatever you're struggling with is to have a clear vision. Don't let the enemy blur your vision, but take the enemy to the mat and say, you dirty devil, you have no more authority in this home, in this place, in this situation. I'm going forward. God is looking for those that are one that are willing to pray for those that are unable to lift up their hands, church. And I'm not going to call out names. I'm going to say that there are some who are needing prayer. Pray one for another in brotherly love and sisterly love. Hold up each other in prayer. And those of you that get the vision from God and want to move forward with a vision from God, church, march forward. Get hold of that vision and move forward, because God is looking for an army, and the army has been recruited tonight, and this army is coming out of this embassy tonight, and this army is saying, we are not going to let the enemy, there is not going to be an onslaught of the enemy on this place. The onslaught's going to be out there when the enemy is defeated, because God is saying, you take the vision, you take the trumpet, you take the horn, you take every instrument, you take the praise and worship, you get out there, and guess what? The enemy's going to flee. Church, let's get his vision tonight. Pastor, as I finish this, church, and like I said, we've been to the altar, think about a vision. And then ask God for the vision he has for your life. And the vision he has for this congregation and for this church. Time is short, church. Time is short. I took a chance 12 years ago, and some of you may be called out of this place because the fire needs to get spread, and many times you're the only one that can be the torchbearer. God is looking for someone that can carry the sword and carry the torch. and you might be called out. So get the vision.